Blog Talk Radio.
He said, you have not chosen me,
But I have chosen you.
So God Father Son said, you didn't choose me. I chose you. Go ahead.
And I ordained you.
Go ahead.
That you should go and bring forth fruit.
Mm-hmm.
That your fruit should remain.
Go ahead.
What may that whatsoever you to ask of my Father in my name, he may give it to you.
So he said, you didn't choose me. I chose you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you had, who next? Did I forget somebody. The Medes and the Persians, then you had.
The Medes, the Persians, the, after the Medes and the Persians came the Greeks, and then the Romans.
Then the Romans.
Uh-huh.
And we ain't stopping that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then this is the end of this thing for us, right?
Yeah, right.
After this captivity is over with.
Yeah,
we be in the kingdom of God while we're here, right? Mm-hmm.
Let's see if we can preach up on that.
Let's go. What?
Bubba McClain. Look at Nahum chapter 1, verse 9 and 20. Nahum, find out where Nahum man. I want to get a precept on we in the last captivity.
Hallelujah. One.
Going to Nahum chapter 1, verse 9 and verse 12. Let's see what it says there. Go to the plane. Let's see what Nahum says. They don't say we're in the last captivity. So he told us still something. Jehovah remind those that got here to hear.
Yes.
1:9 and verse 12. Nahum chapter 1, verse 9 and 12.
Hey, buddy. That lies on what?
Nahum verse, chapter 9, chapter 9, write it down. I always write it down. Yeah, write it down 1:9 and 12. Then, take a stab at it. That's right. That's right. We got time for you. We got time for you. This is our job. Make time. 1:9 and 12. What's that say there? Brother McClain.
1:9. Chapter 1, verse 9. Book of Nahum. What do you imagine against Yahuwah?
Yeah.
He will make an utter end.
Mm-hmm.
Affliction shall not rise up the second time.
So otherwise, once you complete, you're going to make an end of this thing, like the little says, what number we on. So he's going to make an end of this thing.
Verse 10. For while they be folding,
what verse did I say? Check your notes. 9 and 12. And look there, make sure you got a little yellow. And I always put you a little yellow, slide a little yellow on things to go over.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, if you see anything yellow in your Bible, it must be important. If you don't lay a note on it.
Yes,
put a little yellow on it. There you go. Put a little yellow on
it. Thus says Yahuwah, through they be quiet. And likewise, many yet thus shall they be cut down when
they're quiet, they sneak. But they gather together right now. He's saying one thing. They quiet, but yet they're going to be what? What they're from the claim? They're going to be what? What?
Cut down.
They're going to be cut down.
Though I have afflicted thee, I will afflict thee no more.
I'm still afflicting you. This is it. They slaves, you go on to the fire, it's you ain't going to have no captivity. So you come out of this thing, you don't get it right, you go on to the fire. Back to hell.
Hallelujah. So Yahuwah already got the Sabbath day circle in, ain't that right?
Mm-hmm.
The affliction is going to be over. So it's we better get busy around here, right?
Hallelujah.
We want to be part of what's to come, right?
Hallelujah.
I want to just run back to the front. Let me just add a few statements concerning that matter. Especially the book of Zechariah. So we're going down that line. Let me put my two cents in. Zechariah chapter 1. Let's look at verse number 14 and 15. Mother, eat Israel, and see you right. Zechariah chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. So Zechariah 1. Verse number 14 and verse number 15. Mother, eat Israel,
see you. Zechariah chapter
1,
verse 14 and verse 15.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 14,
read. Right, read.
The great day.
Look at Zechariah chapter 1. Verse 14 and 15. Look at Zechariah.
Redeemer,
come on, verse 9.
Noah, no more go over the earth.
So he says, pause. They went and did a rain 40 days and 40 nights. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. He said, just like I was born and that wouldn't happen again, what about it?
So have I told that I will not be
wrought
with you, nor rebuke you.
So y'all about to say, my anger at some point in time will be quit, right? Yeah. Let's go back to that second incident. I'm going to be out, mother. Let's see what y'all want to think about Israel. Second incident of five. Mother's weak. Pick it up in verse 18. Yeah.
that are created.
Great.
Thus has made you
wonder.
Great. And of all the powers that are made, thus has provided one seat. Verse 27. And among all the multitude of the people.
And it said among all the multitude of people. What about it?
Thus has gotten you one people.
How many people did he got?
One people.
Go ahead.
And unto this people.
And unto this people, what did you do?
Whom thou love.
Whom you what?
Love.
Whom you love. What about it?
Thus give. He gave one law. That is approved of all.
Verse 28, read that.
Verse 28. And now, O Yahweh. Why has you given this one people over unto many? And upon the one root has thus
prepared
others, and why has thus
scattered
the only one people among many?
So that one people is scattered among many, right? We read that Israel has been in his last captivity, which is number of completion, seven, right? Don't bring in that young lion from the tribe of Yahweh Judah. Father, how is Israel a seed royal by Satan? Hallelujah.
Alright. Let me get a preacher on something for you. Kick off that young lion. But now he said they got happy when they finally said, I'm not going to flood y'all no more. Mm-hmm. But they got really happy on that. I just want to preach up that. But
the true Israelites with your host, the seer of Seed Royal. four corners of the globe. Praise his righteous and powerful name.
Hallelujah.
Yahuwah. Live Yahuwah Radio. Worldwide international radio broadcast is now on the air. I be your host. My name, your seer, Israel, Osiraya. All right, we are still going to be dealing with our little black is beautiful, beautiful black history of the Bible, because when you're reading that good old Bible, you're reading about the beautiful black peoples of Israel anyway, so we're going to continue down that line, and young lion finally come out of his den, so we'll get something going on. And Mother E, Yahuwah be with you, Mother E, Mother Z, hallelujah, Yahuwah. So we'll get something going on after we, you know, play this little message real quick. What is it saying?
Joel Kramer, I'm sure that many of you know that the name of the God of Israel is Yahweh. And the name Yahweh is mentioned in the Old Testament 6,823 times. And it's been found several times in inscriptions through archaeology. But today I want to talk about the oldest Yahweh inscription that's ever been found. About this inscription, when I was reading a book by a well-known Egyptologist named Donald Redford, and he was writing about a site called Solub, which is today located in the country of Sudan, but in ancient times it was part of the kingdom of Egypt. And here the pharaoh Amenhotep III built a temple and made a list of his foreign enemies. And the name of his book is Egypt, Canaan, and Israel in Ancient Times. And so he was discussing these inscriptions when he wrote, "For half a century, it has been generally admitted that we have here the name of the Israelite God, Yahweh. And if this be the case, as it undoubtedly is, the passage constitutes a most precious indication of the whereabouts during the late 15th century BC of the enclave revering this God." I was shocked. You mean to tell me that there is an inscription mentioning Yahweh that dates to the end of the 15th century BC? That's amazing. So I went to the library. I found the Solub excavation report. This site was excavated in the 1950s, and there was the temple, and there was the inscription, and the translation of the inscription. The inscription is written in Egyptian hieroglyphics. The first hieroglyph is the hieroglyph for land. The next three hieroglyphs sound out the word Shazu, which is translated nomad, land of the nomad. And then the last four hieroglyphs sound out a name. The first hieroglyph is the Y sound. Then the house hieroglyph is the H. The noose is the W. And the bird is the A, the way. So together in the excavation report, they translate this name as Yahweh, land of the nomads of Yahweh. This I had to go see for myself. So I traveled to Sudan. I rented a four-wheel drive and a driver, crossed the Nile River on a local ferry, and spent the next 3 days driving on and off-road, camping in the desert, all to get to this temple and all to see this inscription. Here at the Temple of Sol, I traveled all the way to Sudan to come to this temple. This temple was built by Amenhotep III, and you can see these inscriptions that are covering these pillars. Now, let me find a really good one here. These are the ones that Amenhotep III is bragging about defeating. This man with his arms bound behind him, and then the name of that people, where they're from, and many, many place names, all in the same style. The one that I came all the way to see isn't as in good a shape as that one, but it's the most significant, in my opinion, of them, and it's in this pillar right here on the back side, right here. I've come a very long way to see this inscription, which from the Egyptian hieroglyphics reads, Land of the Nomads of Yahweh. It dates to the end of the 15th century BC, over 3,400 years old, and that makes it the oldest mention in an inscription of the name of the God of Israel. Here we sample of something that was found through archaeology, correlating perfectly with what we read in our Bibles. In this case, according to biblical chronology, the Bible says that the Israelites are wandering in the wilderness for 40 years at the latter half of the 15th century BC. Here we have an inscription from the Egyptian pharaoh Amenhotep III that dates to the end of the 15th century BC. The Bible describes the wandering Israelites, the nomadic Israelites, as moving around with their God Yahweh, who is with them by day in a cloud, at night in a pillar of fire. And so what better way for the Egyptian pharaoh, Amenhotep III, to describe this people than the way that he does right here, nomads of Yahweh.
Three.
of the Bible, black, beautiful black Israelite history of the Bible. Let's take a little bit of that, but y'all mind, take your time and let's see what you're working with. You on the clock, come on.
All right. Well, we got a lot of things going on, Sir Israel C. Roy. We are broadcasting on, we know we on Blog Talk, but we also want to add to the nationality that we're broadcasting on Pow Talk. We are broadcasting on YouTube, and you can catch us on YouTube at B-O-T-T-Y, Tryyhdx. Once again, you can catch us on YouTube at B-O-T-T-Y, Tryyhdx. And we also broadcasting on Facebook. You can catch us on the Facebook page at B-O-T-T-Y. Type B-O-T-T-Y inside of your keys, and you're going to see it coming up. You're going to see it come on up, that big old line pop right on up. And tune in to any one of the broadcasts that you have missed. So once again, we're broadcasting on Facebook at B-O-T-T-Y, on YouTube at B-O-T-T-Y Tribe Y-H-D-H. That YHDH means Yada. And we also broadcasting on Pow Talk, and you know we on Blog Talk Radio. All right. So also we got something coming up over this weekend at the bottom part of the Sabbath day. We have Lee Cummings to be paying us a visit on the bottom part of this coming up Sabbath day. So just for the national audience, they can tune in to the radio station, the Blog Talk station, the Pow Talk station. They can tune in to the YouTube, and also you can tune in to Facebook Live. Here, Lee Cummings coming on in to Cap 1 at Voices of the True Israel Light. Okay, and I'm going to also read a few things. Let me see how the spirit going to lead. And I want to pick up something on a page in a Lee Cummings book, The Negro Question Part 4, The Missing Link. I just want to read something about a few things that a lot of our people are not aware about. You know, and it's so funny because today I had to stop off at O'Reilly's, and I was just looking at O'Reilly's and saw that old Irish symbol, that clover they had between the O's. And they just, knowing what I'm about to read right now, our history, our recorded history has been taken and given to everyone else, definitely part of the Esau and their five sons. So they love taking our role, so we're going to read and tell a story. In a book of the Negro Question Part 4, The Missing Link, Lee Cummings, I want to add something to this black and beautiful life that we live. You know, so let's see. Page 34, it reads, first early of Annesley Island with Annesley coat of arms and signature. Image location, Tancaster, Monument, Ireland. This is an image of Belmont. They called him L-O-R-D, Belmont, for Lord. It says, the first Earl of Annesley in Northern Ireland. The Annesley family coat of arms is to the left of L-O-R-D, Belmont's image. The coat of arms and the image of the Earl speak for themselves. It is becoming apparent that the last names of the black nobility of Europe have been assumed by the conquering English. I go on page 35. It says, Earls of Ireland County. Theo Phillips Hastings, 9th Earl of Huntingdon. National Portrait Gallery Collection, www.npgorguk. That's how you spell that. All right, so I'm going to read page 35 and read. When the black Irish were killed or sold into the America, their land was confiscated under the Advent Act of 1652. The land was given to the English soldiers that fought against the royalists in King Charles I. The titles of these black earls passed into the hands of the English along with the land. I am confused. I can see a bum, forgive me, going missing because of his station in life, but how can royalty not be missed by a true historian? Remember that the Irish, Scots, and Brits are the same people. On the next page, I should give you an eyewitness account concerning the genocide of these people. I don't believe that this is a cover-up because so many people wrote about these people. I want to believe that they were simply forgotten. All right, we're going to read page, go to the next page. We're going to read page 36 now. It's called The Master at Drogheda. The Master at Drogheda or Gita. And it reads, Irish History, Ireland Library, 1641, rebelled. This is a scene from the destruction of Drogheda, Ireland, by the English in 1641. They stripped the people naked and drove them into the mountains to freeze to death, but not before uttering a strange statement about the English being wild men. Remember, the Irish were black in 1600. The English implied the Irish children and bashed their heads on stone. These are eyewitness accounts. The editorial from the Generation shows that they spoke and wrote differently, but you can discern the writing. In the modern English, it says, they took hot tongs and tortured the woman to make her confess where her money was. They burnt the bottom of her feet and the palms of her hands. It is important that you remember that these crimes are being done to black Irish men, their women and children. Going backwards in history, it's like digging in walls and seeing what the people do in the imagination of their minds. This is part of the history of Europe that the Genesis is missing. That's what caused his findings in our generation to make sense. Remember, the Irish were black in the 1600s. So there we have it. We come to find out that the Irish people was black in the 1600s. So we're going to get we're going to go to the Negro question part number six, the 13 black colonies. And we know the Irish was black in the 1600s. So let's read something in the book of the Negro question part six, page three. And read. In the year 449 AD, certain Englishmen came from North Germany and southern shores of the Baltic Sea and pushed the Britons, ancient name of England, westward. And this is being read from proof by Boyd Dolphin. This is something that he wrote, one of the big dignitaries. He was a British geologist, an archaeologist, wrote an essay, and it's called Our Earliest Ancestors. So going back to reading the excerpt from page three, it says, the English carved out Yorkshire. By the year 607 AD, the English had pushed the Britons westward as far as Chester. The English carved out Yorkshire to Chester and southern Lancashire, forming the kingdom of Northumbria. Professor Boyd Dawkins is giving the location of the whites in England. So we come to find out that they just came over there in Japhetic land in 449 to the land of England. So I'm going to stop right there, and I'm going to hand it over there to Sir Israel of D. Roy to say hallelujah.
Hallelujah, young man. That was excellent. So that was excellent. So he handed over to the Englishmen, but in the same token, he handed over to the Englishmen. But that name right there, it ain't going to hold up in Charlotte. So you, Luke chapter 12, verse 12, say that, young man. We're going to see me piggyback on a little bit of that there. Come on.
All right. going over there to the book of Luke, chapter 12. We want to read verse number 12. Book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 12. Verse 12 reads, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you are to say."
In that very same hour, the righteous spirit will teach you what you ought to say. But the Englishmen and all that, according to prophecy, Mother E. Now, Mother E, according to prophecy in 65, verse 15 of Isaiah, can you get the national audience to understand something about the Englishmen and the Italian man? Can you help those see up and
65 verse 15 reads, "And ye shall leave your name by curse unto my soul, for the Yahweh shall save you and call your servants by another name."
He said you gonna leave your name for a curse. So when the peoples of Zora was called by Anglo-Saxons, that's the Englishman. So when it was called by the Anglo-Saxon name for the Englishman, they was called Scottish, Briton, peoples of a covenant. All they have did on the true side is left a name for a curse.
Hallelujah.
So now, how long that curse is going to be on them, Mother? Let's go to Zechariah chapter 8. Let's go to Zechariah chapter 8, Mother, see how long this curse is going to be on them, Mother, that we can read. This curse of identity theft. How long this curse is going to be on the peoples that, according to the Bible, are the black and beautiful 12 tribes of Israel that is scattered. How long that curse going to be on the Mother, that we can read in Zechariah chapter 13, verse 13 and 16. What do Zechariah chapter 8, verse 13 and 16 say there, Mother?
Zechariah chapter 8, verse 13 and verse 16. Verse 13, "And it shall come to pass that as ye were a curse among the nations, O family of Yahweh Judah, and family of Israel, the northern kingdom, so will I save you, and you shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hand be strong." Verse 16. "These are the things that ye shall do. Seek you every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gate."
So he said, now this is saying to do, take that curse off among you. He said you gotta start acting a little bit more better. So in Jeremiah 11 verse 3, can you also see out in Jeremiah 11 verse 3?
Jeremiah 11, verse 3. Okay. Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 3. Book of Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 3 reads, "And say thou unto them, thus said the Yahweh of Israel, cursed be the man that obeyeth not the word of this covenant."
So obey the covenant is for you to make sure when they address you by the name that he gave you in number 6, we're not reading it, verse 29, verse 27. So always curse is going to be lifted off these children of Israel. You got to make sure that when they call you by any other name, calling you Great Britons, any name they call you, I'd like calling you African American and Negro. according to Yahweh, you up on a curse. So you got to get your name right. Let's precept that young lion. We go on to the 27th chapter and see where all this been pulled from. Deuteronomy chapter 17, 24 and 26. We're going to precept that, young lion. Deuteronomy 27, verse 17, 24 and 26. What does it say there, young lion?
Okay, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 27, verse 17, 24 and 26. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 27, verse 17 reads, "Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark, and all the people shall say, Hallelujah, what? Hallelujah, what?" Verse 24, "Cursed be he that smiteth his neighbor secretly, and all the people shall say, Hallelujah, what? Hallelujah, what? Hallelujah, what?" Verse 26, "Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say, Hallelujah, what? Hallelujah, what? Hallelujah, what?"
So you see, he's saying you're upon a curse by removing the landmark of those that he have set the bounds to it. You're upon a curse. Curse when you don't know your name. So you got a lot of curses over your head, but you have to kind of listen very careful to the six anointing camps, and we let you know. You got to get past some of these curses on you for Yahweh to even kind of take a little peep at you. Because he made plain in Habakkuk 1:13, that young lion. And young lion, he said something in Habakkuk 1:13 about himself. He told Habakkuk, he asked him a question. He said, "Are you the man of the hour right now, Habakkuk?" He said, "Yeah." "Well, then you put down what I tell you put down, Habakkuk." 1:13, what it say?
Okay. We're going over to the book of Habakkuk. Chapter 1, we're going to pick it up at verse number 13. The book of Habakkuk, chapter 1, verse 13 reads, Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 13, "You are of purer eyes than to behold evil, and cannot look on sin. Wherefore, look you upon them that deal treacherously, and behold it. Behold your tongue when the wicked devour the man that is more righteous than you."
So he's saying if he's sinning against the Almighty, then right now he's just the love end that you think he got. He's not with you if you sin against him. Matter of fact, he pay you no never mind like y'all do the seer. You pay him no never mind. He said, "Well, you sin against me, I don't pay you no never mind." So in 8:17 of Proverbs there, young lion, can you also see out what it says in Proverbs 8:17?
All right. We're going over there to the book of Proverbs. We're going to pick it up at chapter 8. We're on verse number 17. The book of Proverbs, chapter 8, verse 17 reads, "I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me."
He said, "Now understand about my love end. My love end is those that love me. So if you love him, he love you. So remember, he said, if you sin against me, he not paying you no never mind. But I love the ones that love me." So now we're going to St. John chapter 14, young lion. Look at verse 14. Down to verse 21. So some things got to happen. So do we love everybody? Yeah, he love everybody that love him. He love everybody. But guess what? It's a conditional love. You got to love him for him to love you. And if you love him, this is what you'll do automatically in St. John 14:14 down to verse 21. So you want the great big love man to go both ways? And this is what he says, what he'll do for you in St. John chapter 14, verse 14 out of verse 21. What do you say that, young man?
The book of St. John, chapter 14, verse 14 down to verse 21. Verse 14 read, if you should ask anything in my name, I will do it. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Verse 19, yet a little while, and the world sees me no more, but you see me, because I live, you shall live also. Verse 20, at that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keep them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him.
Mm-hmm. So you see, it's love that you want the Almighty to love you back, like the records say. It's real good, yeah. But you got to remember one thing: you got to love him, and it is a condition to his love. You got to keep his law. Now, if you want him to love you, you got to keep his law. Go to St. John chapter 15 there, young line. So you got to keep his law. St. John chapter 15, verse 5, 10, 14, down to verse 16. St. John chapter 15, 5, 10, 14, down to verse 16. So you want the great big love in to kick in, okay, then you got to follow the rules and the regulation of the Bible. Then you know that he loved you because you love him. Let's see what he says in St. John chapter 15, verse 5, 10, 14, to 16. Go on there, young line.
All right. The book of St. John chapter 15, verse 5, 10, 14, down to 16. The book of St. John chapter 15, verse 5 reads, I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Verse 14, you are my friend if you do whatsoever I command you. Verse 15, henceforth I call you not servant, for the servant know not what his Yahuwah doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you.
Mm-hmm. So you see this great big love in it. It got a condition to this great big love in. And he says it's a position, mother. It's a condition in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6 down to verse 10. It's a condition to all this stuff. He said if you love him, you're going to do what he tell you to do. You want the great big love in of your mighty one, then do what he tell you to do. That's all. And let's see what he says in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6 down to verse 10. And then we're going to kind of bring our ear in, tell y'all about the broadcast, and then we'll get back on whatever way he wants to go. after we hear from our elder, Mr. Tibbs Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6 down to verse 10. What did it say there, Mother?
Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7, verses 6 to 10. Verse 6. For thou art a righteous people unto the Yahweh, your Yahweh. The Yahweh, your Yahweh, has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Verse 7. The Yahweh did not set his love upon you, nor chose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. Verse 8. But because the Yahweh loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your father, had the Yahweh brought you. Okay. Which he has sworn unto your father, has the Yahweh brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondage from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Verse 9. Know therefore that the Yahweh, your Yahweh, he is Yahweh, the faithful Yahweh, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations. Verse 10, and repeat, and repay them that hate him to their face, to destroy them, he will not be flat to him that hate him. He will repent him to his face.
Yeah. All right. Here's what you said there. Here's where. Okay, well, we'll keep the ball game rolling, Mother E. We know we are speaking about love. Let's get let me add one on to that while we get to still back on the line, Mother E. How about that?
Okay, go ahead.
All right. We know WTT got the ball game rolling, ball court in their hand. Let me see what he had to say in the book of 1 John. That we can tie one on in and let's go to 2 John. And let's pick it up in chapter number 1. Let's pick it up at number 5 and verse number 6.
Second John.
Yeah, we're going to read chapter 1. We're going to pick it up at verse number 6. Give me 5 and 6.
Okay. Second John. Chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. Second John. Yeah. 2 John chapter 1, verse 5. And besides this, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue and virtue knowledge. Verse 6. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, Yahwehly.
Mm-hmm. But that was now, if you're touching on
that was second.
Yeah.
Peter.
Yeah, I need. Yeah, okay. Hallelujah. Well, I need First John chapter. I mean Second John.
Second John chapter 6:5-6. Second John chapter 5:6. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee.
That's right.
But that which we have from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandment. This is the commandment that as you have heard from the beginning, you shall walk into it.
Mm-hmm. So what's the love of Yahweh, Mother E?
The commandment.
That's right. So if we go do some love, we got to make sure we do the love of the commandment. But it's something I want to let's get a precept on that, Mother E, and let's just bag it up to let's go to First John. We're gonna pick it up at chapter 5.
First John chapter 5.
Yes, ma'am. Give me let me go back up one. I just lost my page. Now we're gonna go to First John and pick it up at chapter 5. Let's pick it up verse number verse 1, 2, and 3.
Okay.
Verse 1 all the way down to verse number 5.
Verse 1 to 5.
Yes, ma'am.
Second, 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 to 5, verse 1. Yahweh the Son is the Yahweh is born. So, 1 John chapter 5, verse 1.
Yeah, pick it up.
Whosoever believeth that Yahweh the Son is Yahweh is born of Yahweh, and everyone that love him that begat love him also that is begotten of him. Verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of Yahweh, when we love Yahweh and keep his commandments. Verse 3. For this is the love of Yahweh, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not greedy. Verse 4. For whosoever is born of Yahweh will come to the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Verse 5. Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believeth that Yahweh is the Son, but that he that Yahweh the Son is the Son of Yahweh the Father?
So, the only way you can, Yahweh is by doing his law, the first 5 books of the Bible. But it was something that I saw as he was reading, Mother E. There's something that was said in the book of 1 John chapter 5, verse number 4. In verse number 4, it says, for whatsoever born of Yahweh, born of Yahweh overcometh the world. And it says, and this is the victory that overcometh in the world, even our faith. But let's see who he was referring to in here. Because he called them the children of Yahweh. He said a few things up in here. But it was something that I wanted to point out here that who is he speaking to? Who is this love he referring to that we can read? But first we're going to go to first. Let's go to John. John chapter 3.
John chapter 3.
Yeah, we're going to pick it up and see about, because we know it's a lot of love going on, and want to make sure we type name in on this love. And we know that love Yahweh, you got to keep his laws. But let's see who he's talking to. Let's go to John, St. John chapter 3, and let's pick it up at verse St. John chapter 3. Let's pick it up at read me verse number 1.
Okay. John chapter 3 verse 1 read. John chapter 3 verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews.
Verse 2.
The same come to Yahweh by night and said unto him.
He came
from
by what time?
By night.
So this is Nicodemus coming to Yahweh the Son by night. So we, okay, continue to read.
And said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from Yahweh the Father, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except Yahweh be with him.
So we know, okay, so now we know we got, a conversation between Yahweh the Son and Nicodemus. Okay, so let's see what was said over to in verse number 16. Let's read verse 16 now. Now, we know it's a conversation between Yahweh the Son and Nicodemus, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's see what he said in verse number 16.
John chapter 3, verse 16.
Mm-hmm.
But Yahweh so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son.
That's right.
That whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
Mm-hmm. So now when the world reads this, they're going to look at this statement and say, well, this goes for everybody that's inside of this book. So whosoever goes applies to me too. So we want to make sure that we know who the whosoever is, and because it says, for Yahweh so loved the world. So let's do a little, let's start right there first. Let's first deal with this world. Who this world he's referring to that we can read, Mother Eve? And let's pick it up in about Isaiah. We're going to read Isaiah 45, verse 17. How about
that?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Let me get back there. Isaiah 45.
We want to make sure we know who the world is, because everybody go see that statement and say, oh, yeah, the world, this world belongs to who that we can read. They're going to say it belongs to everybody on the whole planet Earth. So we're going to find out who this world belongs to, Mother Eve.
Okay. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 17. But Israel shall be saved, and the Yahweh with an everlasting salvation. He shall not be ashamed, nor confined, world without end.
Who world is without an end?
Israel.
So we know that we come to find out that we can read that Israel world is without end. That's what we come to find out, that we can read that in the book of we can read that in the book of Isaiah chapter 45 verse 17. And, you know, Israel world is without end. But let's see, can we add some on to that Mother Mother E? Let's go to back in Ezra chapter 6.
Back in Ezra chapter what?
Chapter 6. Yeah, we're going to find out, get a little precept about this world, because according to we can read, hold your thought real quick, Mother, just find out for the national audience why we are, what we're supposed to be doing with our Bible, how we read our Bible. So we're still going over there to that Sacramento chapter 6. We're going to pick it up at verse 54, and we're going to read down until we get to our point. Yeah.
54.
Yeah, that's where we're going to start at. But before we read that, I want to pull something out in Isaiah chapter 28. Pick it up at verse number 9 and verse number 10. Then I'm going to read. I'm going to read with you, Mother E. And I'm going to have that Psalms 119, verse 4 and verse 104 on standby after you get done giving me that. Isaiah
28.
Yes, ma'am.
What was the verse?
I want verse 9 and verse number 10. So this is what we do with our Bible. That's the reason why we read our Bible the way we do, because we want to make sure we stay doing it according to Isaiah chapter 28. Verse 9 and verse number 10, Mother E.
Isaiah chapter 28, verse 9 and verse 10. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Verse 10. For precept must be upon precept. Precept
upon precept, line upon line, line upon line,
here a little and
there
a little.
Well, that's why we that's the way we're supposed to read our Bible. According to what we just got done reading, it must be, hallelujah, well, it must be precept in our Bible.
Line.
All right,
hallelujah, well. You got to preach up that Bible, and thank you, because the big dignitary did kind of put a nuke sign on my microphone until I addressed a couple of questions. Now they have released my microphone. So, as I recall, did we bring the elder in, and the elder of Mr. T of Israel, and get us informed about exactly what's going to be happening?
No.
Coming top part,
no.
Bottom part of the Sabbath day is Saturday. When this historian teacher going to be coming to account number one, I want to make sure we hear that again. Because the big dignitary say, well, we ain't going to let one of our historian teachers come
I get in
to
account number one.
So, Mr. Tibbs, let me bring you in and let this national audience know exactly what's going on this bottom part of Sabbath day coming up. And we know we got a historian teacher coming by a name that you're going to bring to the table around about 2 o'clock. This is coming up Saturday, which is the bottom part of Sabbath day. So, Elder Mr. Tibbs, can you step in and help those see out and make sure we all on the same page? You're on the clock, Elder. Come on.
Once again, Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel, and thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast. And you're absolutely correct. From the books that we've been reading, from Who Am I by Lee Cummings, the author of 10 or more books that has wrenched the public market and attention of many black people, focused on black history and the Bible. We are having a visit from Mr. Lee Cummings himself this coming Sabbath day, which is this Saturday, making a star appearance at 2 o'clock, which I may be accompanying him with that appearance. So that should be quite, I should say, a good session for us this Sabbath day. It looks like we've been blessed with his appearance. And so this is one of the reasons why we're here to help guide you through these dark times. Bad teaching, loud bump of gums for righteous learning. Some of the things we do, we put on the table. This is why we welcome and thank all of you for attending our live broadcast of Yahuwah's Ministry. We have a lot of things happening in this ministry because we come to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. And first and foremost, as you might imagine, about Yahuwah's Word, learning how to connect the Bible books. Your health and foods you should eat and keeping the Sabbath days. And I have to tell you, we will be keeping the Sabbath day this coming Saturday, with Lee Cummings himself. And we do all this because you have knowledge. Information you came to seek, you don't have to look any further. You now found it in the voices of the true Israelites, tribe of Yahuwah. We're open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days that we're open is Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Having no class on Tuesday, but we do have a Sabbath class. And the top part of the Sabbath is Friday. That class starts at 7:30 to 10:30. And the bottom part of Sabbath is Saturday. We have a temple class that starts at 12 p.m. and the online class that starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until temple members desire to leave. We also have a website address. To use this on any search engine, enatribeyahuwah.com. And after you click enter, just on the big line, you will see the choices, one being tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow those instructions. On any other device, you might see menu. But again, after clicking this, you'll still see choices. Still choose the tithes and offerings in doing so. Remember what it says in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse number 8. 7 says, give unto the Yahuwah your tenders of the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength. 8, give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come unto his courts. Now, I always remind everyone that when you're doing this, to remember that Yahuwah loves that you're forgiven. And also, donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated that you give according to those Bible scriptures that are written in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse 30, and once again written in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, and verse number 9. This is done to keep this ministry bringing you Thus Says Yahuwah live. Also, for building a school, which I mention each time, is very well needed. A banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. We even have a calendar. That calendar is there to help keep you, your family, and friends in tune with the Bible feast days that come to us throughout the year. We also have a live program. This feature, of course, is only available during our live broadcast time. Just type in three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. And after you click on it, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yahuwah, and click the red live button as soon as it appears. You'll be right into our live online broadcast. We also have two email addresses that the listening members can use. The first is tribeyahuwah@gmail.com. The other is yahuwahisrael@gmail.com. These are for writing your written opinions and questions on the subject answer or related topics. We even have a few numbers you can call with the Yahuwah 9. The first, of course, being our live conference room numbers, which is 319-527-6065. The other being our international line, which is 234-600-5579. This is where you can call and leave a message on scriptures that you may have questions on, which can be answered by anyone at 6 Anointed Camps of Yahuwah's Ministry. But also in saying that, let me remind you, do not call this number trying to teach. You will only hear a discouraging click followed by a dial tone. Also, you can inquire about our 12 programs via the 12 Tribes of Israel on DVD. Just make sure we get the correct name and the correct address, and you will receive it somewhere. On another note, we might ask, please do not contact the seer via email, phone, or text before broadcast or afterwards. As you see, the seer is usually pretty busy with the WCC, the New York Station stockholder, Mrs. Cigar Man, announcing many memos that most of us have seen. We had a witness to that just now, today. And now, in addition to that, the Latter-day Saints. So please use that international line of 224-600-5579. And if the question is legit, you will receive a call back, unless you call trying to teach. Now, for those of you who have missed the beginning of our program, you can always catch the entire show today at 9:15 p.m., except Fridays. Program time will be repeated after 10:30. To do that, just enter three words, Yahuwah Radio Live, and look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadav. Choose the program that you're late logging into or any previous day that you would like to listen. Earlier during our announcement, we had said that we can expect one of the big dignitaries to come to our temple on the Sabbath day. This coming Sabbath, which is Saturday, he should arrive at 2 o'clock, and I should be accompanying him. And actually, the reason for that particular time, he runs his own Sabbath class, believe it or not. So when that ends, he'll be gracing us with his presence. So we can continue our program. We will pass our program back over to our seer Israel and say, Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
All
right, Elder, we'll be looking forward to hearing his story and teacher coming to Camp One somewhere around 2 o'clock on the bottom part of Saturday, which is called Saturday. We look forward for that, no doubt about it. So I want to take a look at something because I was basically rooted in, interrupted in some things. Because one thing about it is always to remind those fear. This is my radio station, Big Day. And we can deliver you up in time to get ready, but we got a couple questions for you, and I want you to answer it. Do you remain on mute for the rest of the broadcast? So the question I said, well, I tell you what I do. I answer them questions once you release my microphone. I will answer them questions. But I let those to hear me for it be clear what I'm saying. So young line, take your telephone, young line, and just say into the telephone, what language did Jesus Christ speak? That's all I want you to say it and put it to the microphone, the language of Jesus Christ. What language of Jesus Christ, and let the national audience hear the language. So while he was speaking, so we will know what language that he's speaking in. And what we will do, we want to hear those that are descendants of this language that you speak on your telephone answer that question. The language of Jesus Christ. Bring it out, young line. Let's see if we can hear something. Come on.
My phone. I don't have that type of operation on my phone.
Okay. Mr. Tibbs, Israel. Mother Z. Hey, Mother Z. Ask your telephone, Mother Z. And I want you to ask your telephones one question. The language of Jesus Christ. And let's all hear through the microphone the language of Jesus Christ. Hey, Mother Z, how about that, Mother Z? Come on.
I'll try. the language of Jesus Christ.
Aramaic. According to pace.co.int, Aramaic is best known as the language Jesus spoke. It is a Semitic language originating in the Middle Euphrates. In 800 to 600 BC, it spread from there to Syria and Mesopotamia.
Yeah. Whoa. So, Mother Z, the lady, the white lady on the telephone says plainly that when Jesus Christ spoke, what language was he speaking according to your telephone? That's all you got to say. The language of Jesus Christ. It's just that simple.
Mm-hmm.
Say it one more time, Mother, the language of Jesus Christ. Then I want you to expound on what you just got through hearing after you play it one more time. The language of Jesus Christ. Come on, Mother Z.
The language of Jesus Christ.
Aramaic. According to pace.co.int, Aramaic is best known as the language Jesus spoke. It is a Semitic language originating in the Middle Euphrates. In 800 to 600 BC, it spread from there to Syria and Mesopotamia.
He spoke the language of Aramaic.
What kind of language there, Mother? It's a dialect of part of what kind of language, Mother? Tell the national audience, Aramaic is a dialect of what language?
Semitic.
Hallelujah.
Excellent, Mother. So there is a there. So in the Semitic language is the language Jesus Christ spoke. Now, we want to examine that because they say, why do you always have to call him YHWH, Yahweh, every time? Why can't you call him Jesus Christ? Because Jesus Christ didn't call himself that name. Yeah. He didn't use that name himself, so why should I use that name? He never spoke no English. They just told you out of your own telephone. Why should I call him that he didn't use? So, although we're getting ready to read it, But since we know he spoke the Semitic language there, young man, so if we read it according to English, we're going to run into some things. But when you precept your Bible, you'd be able to take care of it. Like, for example, whatever you read in that English language that didn't exist in 449 A.D., can I hear that name? And I want you to know, I want to ask you a question. National audience, how possible could this be? Acts chapter 4, verse 7 down to verse 12. Just read the way you see it. I need to hear the name that they got in English. So I want to hear something. Come on. Acts chapter 4, verse 7 down to verse 12. What did it say there, young lion?
The book of Acts chapter 4, verse 7 down to verse 12. Verse 7 reads. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. Verse 9. If this day be examined of good deeds done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole. Verse 10. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified when Yahweh raised from the dead, even by him do this man stand here before you whole. Verse 11. This is the stone which was set at the knock of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
So you see, this is what Dave was showing me when they, Big Dignitary, just let me know that the only name you'll be saved by is the name that Peter was speaking in Acts 4:7-12 by the name of Lord God Jesus Christ. That's the only name gonna get you saved. But we found out that when you read this verse right here, English wasn't even thought about until 449 A.D. It became official language in 1382. And see, that would happen when they got over to the Japhetic land where the children of Israel was at. Because he said in 449, that's when they really came on the scene. And when they came on the scene, they brought the English language that they had produced on the table and started naming whatever they seen fit to write in their book. The Englishman, the Anglo-Saxon man. So they started dividing you, and that's how you get conquered today, by being divided. So he found out he did not speak English, and nobody heard no English until 449, when the children of Esau, the Latin, that come from the Greek, came into the land of Japhetic land in 449 and brought that new language in their new tactics called divide and conquer. So that's how it happened. So now we're going to show that even when the time that young lion, it ain't but one name for salvation. Because we're going to go find out in 1000 B.C., remember, nobody heard no other name until 449 A.D. So now when we read David talking in 116 verse 13, You can catch those that try to manipulate you by going to Psalm 116, verse 13. What does it say there, young line?
Look at Psalm, chapter 116, verse number 13, read. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of Yahuwah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, how many letters is that?
Four letters, Y-H-W-H, Yahuwah.
Uh-huh. So when David was speaking, the middle spirit was speaking to David. And what tongue was they used to speak to him in Acts 26, verse 14? So the angels, the Holy Ghost, was only speaking the same tongue that was given to the Father, the Son, to give to the angel to bring it down to his seers, David. And David was a seer. So now what time was this going on with in Acts 26:14 there, young lion?
Okay. The book of Acts, chapter 26, verse number 14, read. And when we were all falling to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Shematic Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecute you me? It is hard for
why
me to kick
me
against the prick.
Mm-hmm. He said, why persecute me? So now we find out that he was speaking in the Shematic tongue, the same thing that the little woman, the little white woman, said. That's the tongue he spoke in. See, sometimes they get something right, but it's up to you. The little white woman says when he was walking the face of the earth, he was speaking in a Semitic tongue. Hey, Mother Z, can you play the little white woman one more time for the national audience? The little white woman, Senator Deso, what did she say again? The language of Jesus Christ again? Mother Z?
Okay. Just a minute.
There's the Rangers of Jesus Christ.
Okay.
The Ranger is a 2018 movie directed by Jennifer.
The Ranger of Jesus Christ. Didn't get it. Give me a minute.
Yeah. The language of Jesus Christ.
The language of Jesus Christ.
Aramaic. According to pace.co.int, Aramaic is best known as the language Jesus spoke. It is a Semitic language originating in the Middle Euphrates. In 800 to 600 BC, it spread from there to Syria and Mesopotamia.
So, that's the same thing that Scholar was saying earlier in the early part of the broadcast, that they found the name, the four letters, YHWH, over there in the 1500s. So around about 800 BC, they still were speaking that they knew the name. Everybody knew the name, YHWH, no, and the Semitic got 22 alphabets, no vowels. So when you watch those that's trying to deal with the truth or half truth, you're not being genuine when you don't call about his name. The little white woman said his name is YHWH Yahuwah. He spoke a Semitic language. So when somebody is speaking and they knowing this thing and they don't make adjustment to it like the big dignitaries, WCC, Latter-day Saints, the Roman Catholic Church, and they pay it like it's on never mind. I wonder why they do that. What spirit make you not make adjustment if your light is turned on? Even on a time, even on a time the big dignitaries wrote on the tree that he was hanged on. What you mean? What you mean? He was hung on a tree, according to the Bible. Let's make sure he was hung on a tree. You know, like they do any other beautiful Israelites back in this, watching the February month, they hang you on a tree. Now, you both believe the eyewitness, right? The eyewitness will tell you what he was hung on. Now, an eyewitness, you got to go with it. In the fifth chapter of Mother E, what did the eyewitness say when they hung him? What did they hung him on that we can read? Let's see what it says in Acts chapter 5, verse 30. Let's see exactly what they, because you know you got a lot of people walking around with a cross on their neck. You know, they give a kiss on it 4 or 5 times. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Lord God Jesus Christ. But the eyewitness is going to tell you exactly when they hung him, what was he hung on that we can read. We're going to Acts chapter 5, and we're going to look down at verse number 30, Mother E. Hey, Mother E, what can we read out of Acts 5, verse 30?
The book of Acts, chapter 5, verse 30. The Yahuwah of our father, raised up Yahuwah the Son, whom he slew and hanged on a tree.
Hey, Mother E, what was the song, according to the eyewitness, the chief speaker of the nation of Israel, what was he hung on?
He was hung on a tree.
Oh, see? That's what eyewitness say. So Paul's message was to go to the ones that was scattered in the northern world, land of Japhetic land. And he had to bring them back with some proper understanding. When Paul got over there, there was Englishmen, which called Anglo-Saxon, pagan name. They was Britons, pagan names. They was all over the place. But when Paul got over to them, he called them something when he looked at them first. First he looked at them. Hey, Mother E. He looked directly at them. He called them something. Paul looked at him and said something in 3 verse 1 of Galatians. What did Paul say when he looked them eyeball to eyeball? We know he had to get on a milk crate to do so.
We know Paul, when he looked directly at you, his eyes will hit you straight across your knees. We understand that. But he had that big old powerful voice that would cover for his height. So when Paul looked directly at the people over there in Galatia, what did he say to them in 3:1, Mother, and verse 13?
Galatians chapter 3, verse 1 and verse 13. Verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Yahweh the Son has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Verse 13, 1 to 13, verse 1 and 13. He said and 13, okay. Verse 13, Yahweh the Son has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, curse is everyone that hangeth on a tree.
No. So it says written that curse is everyone that hang on a tree. So Mother E, what did Paul tell the one that's in the northern world, the prophetic land, the man they call now Europe? He had to tell them because they had a broke away, Mother. They had a broke away from the Almighty, and they were doing their own thing. That's why they was called all the names they was called. But what did Paul tell them, because they was nowhere around when it happened, they was over there in prophetic land called Europe. So Paul had to tell them that the one that came to redeem us, he was hung what kind of way, Mother?
On the tree.
Is you making a statement or are you making a comment? Which one are you making, Mother? Is you making a statement or are you giving a comment on he was hung on a tree? Which one are you giving, Mother?
Okay. I'm gonna read verse 1 again. O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Yahweh the Son has been evident, set forth, crucified among you. And verse 13 says, Yahweh the Son has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, curse is everyone that hangs on a tree.
So, Mark, is you saying that according to St. John 3:11? I want to know how is you responding, Mother. Look at St. John 3:1. I want to be clear that I know how you responding when they say to you, he was hung on a tree. And you see many big dignitaries in front of all their big builders, they got a cross, and they tell you, carry your cross. So I want to know when you read 3:11. Can you help those see out when you read St. John 3:11, Mother? What it says we can read in 3:11?
John chapter 3, verse 11. St. John chapter 3, verse 11, read. Truly, truly, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness.
So, Mother, is you saying he was hung on a tree on what you know of? Is you making a comment or a statement? Are you just calling the way it is, or are you making a, it can go either way. So how is you saying he was hung on a tree? I mean, we want to be clear to the national audience. So what is you saying? Is you speaking what you know, or are you speaking as a How are you using that, Mother? Come on.
I'm speaking what I just read in Acts 5:30.
Uh-huh. And what did you read in Acts 5:30?
The Yahweh of our Father. Acts 5:30. The Yahweh of our Father raised up Yahweh the Son, whom you slew and hanged on a tree.
So tell the national audience what you're telling what really happened. So according to Scripture, what really happened to Yahweh the Son? What really happened? They done what to him, Mother?
They hang Yahweh the Son on a tree.
That eyewitness that happened to him. So who are we supposed to believe? The eyewitness? Or do you supposed to believe what Christianity and Islam say, take your cross and walk. Take up your cross and walk. Well, we can't read where no cross is involved. We read about a flat-out February month hanging. You know, they show you the movies of the group of black Israelites being hung on a tree, and you're looking at them, seeing them hanging on a tree. But then you know that the same thing happened. So you can believe that, but you can't believe what the Bible's saying. Why? Why can't you believe what the Bible says? Because they said something to make you all say, I've got to believe it. They said, as it is written, it's written. Paul said, listen, you Galatians, you foolish Galatians, that got over here calling yourself now Britons and Englishmen. He said, look here, y'all out of order. But it's written, you go back to the scriptures that you did have. You know, the ones you had before you broke away and started worshiping Satan the devil. It's written. Well, they said, well, we weren't there. We don't know what happened around that time. Okay, you understand you didn't know. But he said, also, you foolish Galatians, you children of Israel over here in Japhetic land, it's written. So now what's written that mother to seal the deal that we can read in the 21st chapter of Deuteronomy? Because they say it's written. See, the game changer when you precept your Bible. You want to shut them down? Just stop what you're doing and precept your Bible. It says written. That's what he told the Galatians. Because the Galatians, they didn't have no right side of the book. Matter of fact, Paul didn't have the right side of the book neither.
I don't know.
But remember, they've been gone for a long time. And they was worse than somebody that we read in the other lessons. So they would have this knowledge. But he told them, all you got to do is go back and look where it's written at exactly curses anyone that was hanging on a tree. Now, we're going to find out where he pulled that verse from in 21:22. Where he pulled that verse from, Mother? Deuteronomy 21:22?
Deuteronomy 21:22.
Yeah, where
do
you pull that verse from?
And if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, and thus hang him on a tree.
So Paul was pulling scripture to let the foolish Galatians know that this happened, but since y'all was gone in Japhetic land upon your own disobedience, you wasn't there to witness that he was slew and hung on a tree. See? But he said, go back and read, because he already prophesied this the way. See, remember what he said, Mother. He said something in St. John 7:6. Can you have to see out what he said? Hey, Mother E, he made a statement in Psalm 7:6. He said something. Can you have to see out what he said?
Psalm 7:6.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what he said, Mother?
Okay. The book of Psalm 7:6 reads.
Okay.
The book of Psalms, chapter 7, verse 6. Arise, O Yahweh, in thine anger. Lift up thyself because of the rage of mine enemies, and awake.
Hold on, Mother. If I didn't say it correctly, St. John, thank you, Mosey. St. John 7, verse 6. Thank you, that Mosey. St. John 7, 6. See,
okay.
The reason why he can tell Moses these things, because he knew something, Mother. What did he know in St. John 7, verse 6, Mother? What did he know?
The book of St. John, chapter 7, verse 6 reads. St. John, chapter 7, verse 6. St. John, chapter 7, verse 6. Then Yahweh the Son said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready.
Hallelujah. Your time always ready. So he already knew his time, just the way he told Moses. Put it in your book, Moses. I'm going to be hanged on a tree, and the law that I'm going to remove, Moses, is the law that I gave you to give them in the fourth chapter. We're not reading. It's official law. Sacrifice law. That's the law I remove. So, but they got that all wrong. I said the law is done away with. But the law in Hebrews 10 will tell you, but we're not reading it. It was called a killing of an animal. You can't kill that no more, because that's the law was removed. That's the law you was redeemed from. You were redeemed from the law of killing animals, not the moral law. That's why we got to do the teaching now. And you got to be very suspicious when you know that his name is the four letters, and then you hear him just bite down deep on some Lord God and Jesus. So that means something's holding them back. You know, holding them back. So now, young lion in Acts chapter 7, can you help those see out? Because some conversation going to be going on. And this is what they'll do to you in Acts 7, verse 53. Let's see what he said that we can read. And we'll keep down, we going down to read exactly again what the eyewitness says. See, the key to it is you got to know how to precept your Bible. If you want to, you know, respond, let the best of them bump the gong, just precept your Bible. And it tells a story. You ain't got to cut those say off and pay him no never mind until you ask what do this mean in Acts chapter 4. Verse 7 through 12, what it means? It means that he was speaking in the Semitic language, and the name you called on didn't exist. And he was hung on a tree. And we saying it like Mother said it, we're giving you a statement. We ain't keeping a phrase or anything. We giving it as a statement. We clear what happened to him because we can read it. Now, young man, in the 7th chapter, can you go say out in verse 53? We'll read down to get our point. Let's see if this conversation is all over the book. But it's not read but nowhere but through both of those true Israelites. What is read in Acts 7, young line, verse 53? We'll read down to get our point. Come on.
All right. The book of Acts, chapter 7. We'll pick it up at verse 53. Verse 53 reads, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. Verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the mind, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Verse 55. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of Yahweh the Father and Yahweh the Son standing on the right hand of Yahweh the Father. Verse 56. And said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of Yahuwah the Father. Verse 57.
Mm-hmm. Good. Now, go to the 13th chapter, and look what it says in verse 29 and 30. Now, hey, Mother Z, listen to this, Mother Z. In the 13th chapter, Mother Z, look what it says in verse number 29 and 30. Listen to this, Mother Z.
All right. The book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 29 and verse number 30. Verse 29 reads, and when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. Verse 30. But Yahuwah the Father raised him from the dead.
Ain't that something? Now, Mother V, you got to be, you just can't be, you can't be genuine at all if you still rolling around with a cross on your neck and said, take up your cross and walk. And all of the witnesses, everybody telling you that one was around that time said that you put some damage on him and you and he was taken down from the tree. You know when they hang anybody on the February month or the Jim Crow law, they hang everybody. Sooner or later, you got to take them down. You take them down from the tree. You don't take them down. You don't. Ain't nobody been taken down from no cross. Mm-hmm. You take them down from the tree. You watch Mississippi Burning. You watch all them old movies that you love to. Just come on, y'all. Let's get our kitchen together. We can cry real good. And then you got a lot of them saying, that was the days was real good. Which means, by what make it real good? To the days we hung you on a tree. We like them kind of movies too. See? So here's real, Mother. What happened here in the 13th chapter, verse 29, he was taken down as it was written. Same thing back there in Deuteronomy. See, when you precept your Bible, you're clear about it. Well, Yahuwah the Son, with that polluted title called Lord God, your Christ, was hung on a tree. And here it is again. Why is all over this Bible what happened, but nobody can't read it but us? And then we looking right at it, this is what happened. And Mother E, we looking what he says. Did you ever give me my Luke chapter 23, Mother, 37 to 38? Hey, Mother E, did we ever get our Luke chapter 23, verse 37 to 38, Mother?
No.
All right. Well, let's get it again then, Mother. We ain't got it. Let's get it again. Let's see. The Bible got all. This is the greatest piece of literature it is. It's the Bible. But you got to precept your Bible to just meet them where they're at. And knowing that if you have the Lord God Jesus, you're not genuine. You're not genuine.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Because in Luke chapter 2 and 3, verse 37 38, that means you coming right to the birth, but you won't come into the birth. You're not coming to the newness of life. So when you're the newness of life, you have to come on with the come on, and it starts by you making a correction on his name. That's when we know you're stepping over to the newness of life. I mean, just put the book on it. You got to wait. Look what it says over here in Luke 23, 37, 38. Hey, Mother E, what it say?
The book of Luke, chapter 23, verse 37 and verse 38. Luke chapter 23, verse 37. And saying, if you be the king of the Jews, pray yourself. Verse 38. And it's the scripture also was written over him in letters of the Greek and Latin and Hebrew phonetic. This is the king of the Jews, or Yahuwah Judah.
Mm-hmm. But only thing about that verse, Mother, if they wrote it in Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, there's no such word as the Jew. There's no such word there. That's the point. When you go put the evidence, you know, many people is you can be accused of many things, but indicted of nothing. But one thing about it, since the language is written in Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, it ain't no word there to call a Jew. There's no word there. There's no such thing as Jew at that time, because there ain't no Jew in Greek, Latin, or Hebrew. So we know that word Jew have to be another word supposed to be there, because we know it wasn't no Jew. You go with your computer and pull up in the Greek language the word Jew. It's why are you looking in the Greek? It ain't no word called Jew in the Greek. In the Latin language, look up the word Jew. Well, what you looking up for in Latin for? It ain't no word called a Jew. How about looking up in the Semitic called Hebrew? It ain't no word called Jew. So evidently something wrong. Ain't no word called Jew. Now, mother, in St. John chapter 19, verse 19 and 20, and young lion, have me, Adam and Eve, 57, 1 down to verse 11, waiting on me. So, let's see. So you got to watch the ones that's genuine, because you're gonna cross over to a new one's life. You're going to say, wait a minute. If he say out his own mouth he was speaking Hebrew, it's no word called Jew in Hebrew. It's no word called Lord God and Jesus in Hebrew, Semitic, Latin, or Greek. So somebody ain't genuine. You got this in English. And English was only thought about in 449. That's when the Englishmen or the descendants of Esau came into the northern world, and then they start naming you the name that you have now. They start calling Anglo-Saxons, this group. They start calling the group from the south, Scotland. They start giving you names. Why? When I start giving you names and you go with it, or you let me in your organization, I can divide you, and guess what I can do? Conquer you. I can't divide you conquer you unless I divide you. I got to have you look right at your brother and say, you this people, I'm a Christian. Well, I'm Islam, same brothers, and that's how they control you today, by deciding you, by telling you somebody else than who you really are. But when you read St. John chapter 19 and 20, can you help me out there, Marie? Hey, Marie, let's see what's going on again. And St. John, because see, beloved, he wrote the records of it too. What he says in the 19th chapter, verse 19 and 20. What do you say, Mother?
St. John chapter 19, verse 19 and verse 20. Verse 19. And Pilate wrote a tile and put it on the tree. And the writing was, Yahweh of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. I don't know if that's Judah.
Yeah, that's Judah. 20.
Verse 20, this title being read, many are good. Yahdad Judah for the Jews, polluted for Yahdad Judah, for the place where Yahweh the Son was crucified was nigh to the city. And it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin.
In Semitic, Greek, and Latin. Now listen, in Semitic, called Hebrew, Greek, Latin, it's no such word as Lord God or the Jew. It's not there. See, when you use these names to represent him, that means that you haven't crossed over to the newness of life. You could be the wisest man on earth in your time. But what stopping you from crossing over that barrier when you find out that when you see these words, Lord God Jesus Christ, it is polluted. It's damnation to you. It puts you upon a curse. We read that. It puts you upon a curse. when you cross over to the newness of life, you will call him by his name. And you will say, Yahweh the son who you slew. And you hung him on a tree. You slew him and hung him on a tree. So that church of the cross and all that kind of stuff, that don't work. When you go into this Bible and take your time, so you watch the best of them. If they can't get the Lord God and Jesus out their throat, then they're not genuine. I mean, it's something stopping them from just stepping all over. And them the ones you got to understand, you got to watch them carefully. When you're stepping all over, you got no problem calling by his name. Because you know that's the only name for salvation. So you got to watch all that. No problem. Because see, Satan said something to Adam. He looked Adam eyeball to eyeball. Adam wanted to talk to him. And so Satan talked back to Adam. And look what he said in the 57th chapter 1 through 11, that young lion. Satan and Adam got a conversation going on. Let's talk about what it says that we can read. 57, 1 through 11, what it say?
Okay, going to the first book of Adam and Eve, picking up at verse number 50, chapter 57. Chapter 57, verse 1 down to verse 11. Verse 1 reads, but when Adam came out and saw his hideous figure, he was afraid of him and said unto him, who are you? Verse 2, then Satan answered and said unto him, it is I who hid myself within the serpent and who talked to Eve and beguiled her until she hearkened to my command. I am he who sent her through the wells of my speech to deceive you until you and she ate of the fruit of the tree and you came away from under the command of Yahweh. Verse 3. But when Adam heard these words from him, he said unto him, can you make me a garden as Yahweh made for me? Or can you clothe me in the same bright nature in which Yahweh has clothed me? Verse 4. Where is the divine nature that you promised to give me? Where is that fair speech of yours? You did hold with us at first when we were in the garden. Verse 5. Then Satan said unto Adam, thank you. Thanketh you that when I have spoken to one about anything, I shall ever bring it to him or fulfill my word? Not so. For I myself have never even thought of attaining what I ask. Verse 6. Therefore did I fall, and did I make you fall by that for which I myself fell? And with you also, whosoever accepts my counsel falls thereby. Verse 7. But now, O Adam, by reason of your fall, you are under my rule, and I am king over you, because you have hearkened to me and have transgressed against your Yahweh. Neither will there be any deliverance from my hand until the day promised you by your Yahweh. Verse 8. Again he said, inasmuch as we do not know the day agreed upon with you by your Yahweh, nor the hour in which you shall be delivered, for that reason will we multiply war and murder upon you and your seed after you. Verse 9. This is our will and our good pleasure, that we may not leave one of the sons of men to inherit our orders in heaven. Verse 10. For as to our abode, O Adam, it is in burning fire, and we will not see our evil doing, no, not one day nor one hour. And I, O Adam, shall sow fire upon you when you cometh unto the cave to dwell there. Verse 11. When Adam heard these words, he wept and mourned, and said unto Eve, hear what he said, that he will not fulfill all of what he told you in the garden? Did he really then become king over us?
Now, read verse 10 again on your line.
Verse 10. For as to our abode, O Adam, it is in the burning fire, and we will not see our evil doing, no, not one day nor one hour. And I, O Adam, just throw fire upon you when you come into the cave to dwell there.
So you say he said he's not going to stop. What kind of doing that he doing? What kind of doing do you say he's not going to stop doing there, young lion?
He said we'll not cease or our evil doing.
So Satan is telling him he's not going to cease his evil doing that he's doing here. So you see that? So Satan said he's not going to stop. I mean, he's going to take his all the way in. And his evil doing, I mean, he said, I'm going all the way with it. I ain't going to give you one day. Every chance I get, I'm going to cross you up. I'm going to mess you up every chance I get.
And
when you follow his way, you up under his rule. So you is a member of Satan the devil. See?
That's right.
So you see that? So he let you know. So now you got to watch those that is ruled by Satan the devil. Because they'll go so far that they'll stop. Something will have them, they can't walk into the newness of life. They'll come right up because they know one thing. The game changer is the name. But they just can't sign themselves bringing out their name. And when you can't bring out their name, then we clear that he made a statement and exactly what you're doing. Now, here's the people. When Paul called foolish Galatians, that young line, and we're going to pause and bring our elder in and Mother Z, and we'll get back on this again. So now here's a people that when they left out under Yahweh's rule, then you remember, I'm telling you something. When you're not up under Yahweh's rule, you're up under Satan the devil's rule. Now let's see who we can read that's up under Satan the devil's rule. We're going to 2 Chronicles chapter 11, figure verse 13. 13 down to verse 15. Now watch it. Listen. So understand, when Paul was sent to a people, call them a fool. You foolish Galatians. How do you call? What were they doing that we can read? We're going to 2 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 13, 14, 15, young line. What were they doing that we can read?
Okay, we go to 2 Chronicles, chapter 11, verse 13, 14, and verse 15. Verse 13 reads, and the priests and the Levites that were in all Israel resorted to him out of all their coasts. 14, for the Levites left their suburbs and their possessions and came to Yadda Judah. For Jeroboam and his sons had cast them off from executing the priest office unto Yahweh. Verse 15, and he ordained him priest for the high place and for the devil and for the cast which he had made.
See, when you cast out the four-letter man, you worship who, according to verse 15?
Devil.
You see that? That's why Paul called him foolish in Galatians. See, I don't care how much knowledge you got. If you ain't got the name right, you worship the devil. There's what it is. In verse 14, how many letters in the last word of verse 14? who? The priest's office unto who?
The devil.
Last line in 14.
Last line unto Yahweh.
Yeah, how many letters is that?
Four letters. Y-H-W-H. Yahweh.
See that? So you see, we can go on and on and on that if you're not calling on YHWH, which is the priest office of YHWH, you worship according to 15 who? I mean, according to the Bible. When you, the sons, and cast them off from executing the priest office onto YHWH. Push you away when you use the name, but if you decide to back away from the name, then whatever come out your mouth is coming from Satan the devil. Amen. See, when you're not doing the priest office of YHWH, you're doing the priest office of Satan the devil. Here's right there. Verse 14 and 15. So that's plain. So you got to watch the best though. If you're not doing the priest office, I just don't call him by his name. Well, why not? You call him, you going to bring in Satan's name then? How you going to bring in Satan's name? And he said right here, and they told the Levites that job was a spot. They said, go on back to Judah. Get on out of here. Go on back to Judah somewhere and talk your talk. That was Jeroboam. Jeroboam was the head of the 10 northern tribes of 14. And Levi's sons, they always cast them off.
Right,
from executing the priest. Oh, we hear you, Mother. Okay, Mother. All right, let's get out of there. We get you in there. I see Mother, that's enough there. It's time for me to get in there and talk some Bible. So, all right, we'll stop it right there. Hey, Elder, what's your closing statement on page number 7? Elder, Mr. Tills, Israel, you're on the clock and address this national audience over 800,000 strong and remind them that, like I said, those, that you can log in and you can hear the historian teacher Saturday afternoon around 2 o'clock, the historian teacher Lee Cummings. Come on, Elder, what's your closing statement? Come on. Come on, Elder, what's your closing statement, Elder? Fear, you'll hype him up long enough. We going to mute somebody. We muking Mr. Pills. Yeah. Well, that's your radio station. But we're making something real big. So, hey, Mother Z, I see you saying, see, that's enough. See, you want to get in there. So come on, Mother Z. So we're going to bring our Mother Z in. She's going to dress this national audience. Either what we talking about or whatever the Almighty put on her to tell you. So Mother Z, tribe of Yahweh Judah, one out of Camp 1, one of the mothers out of Camp 1, Yahweh be there, say right.
And Yahweh bless and keep you. See you, Israel, the royal seed. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh, there, Mother Z. Well, Mother Z, we clear. We tell them what we know. So we clear that you wearing that cross around your neck, that's paganism. So you probably have, if you want to have something around your neck, have a tree around your neck. Go out there and cut you a branch and put a tree on your neck. Now you probably have on your neck a tree. A tree limb or something. Why you walk around with some paganism on your you probably have a tree limb on your neck and hanging on your sunblock Bible. A tree limb. Come on, Mother, you take your time and dress the national ordinance. You on the clock, come on.
I'm going to read in Jeremiah chapter 44. I'm going to start reading at verse 1, and then I'm going to skip down and go to verse 9. Maybe I'll start reading at verse 7. But anyway, I'm going to start reading it. Jeremiah chapter 44, verse 1. The words that came to Jeremiah concerning all the Yahdah Judah, which dwell in the land of Egypt, which dwell at Macedon, and at Nopad, and in the country of Pharaoh, said, verse 2, thus said the Yahweh of hosts, the Yahweh of Israel, ye have seen all the evil that I have brought upon Yahdah Judah and upon all the city of Yahdah Judah, and behold, this day they are a desolate and no man dwell therein. And well, I'm just going to continue to read down. And verse 3 reads, because of the wickedness which they have committed to provoke me to anger, in that they went to burn incense and to serve other false Yahwehs who they knew not, neither they nor your fathers. Verse 4. How did I sent unto you all my servants the seals rising early and sending them saying, oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate. In verse 5, but they hearken not, neither incline their ear to turn from their wicked to burn no incense unto other false Yahwehs. Verse 6, wherefore my fury and my anger was cold and was killer in the city of Yahdah Judah and in the street of Yahdah Judah, and they are wasted and desolate as at this day. Verse 7. Therefore now thus said the Yahweh of hosts, the Yahweh of Israel, wherefore commit you this great evil against your soul? So I guess that means self. To cut off from you man and woman, child and suckling ox of Yahdah Judah, to leave you none to remain. Verse 8, in that he provoked me unto wrath, which with the work of your hand, burning incense unto other false Yahwehs in the land of Egypt, whether he be gone to dwell there, that he might cut yourself off and that he might be, and that you might be a curse and a recompense among reproach among all the nations of the earth. And I'm going to start reading in verse 9. Have ye forgot the wickedness of your father and the wickedness of the king of Yahdah Judah and the wickedness of their wives and the and your own wickedness and the wickedness of your wives which they have committed in the land of Yahdah Judah and in the street of Yahdah Judah. Hallelujah.
Mother. Excellent. We understand it in the grand sky where you brought it out. No doubt about it. So now, Mother, I want to piggyback on what Mosey just got to read, Mother E. Can you look at verse number 2, 8, 11, and 16, Mother? Hey, Mother E, how about looking at 2, 8, 11, and 16? Can you help those see out, Mother, in Jeremiah 44, verse 2, 8? 11 and 6. Let's listen to some of this conversation
there,
Mother. Come on.
The book of Jeremiah, chapter 4, verse 2, 8, 11, and 16. Verse 2. Thus said the Yahweh of hosts, the Yahweh of Israel, you have seen all the evil that I have brought upon Yahdah Judah and upon all the cities of Judah. And behold, this day they are desolate, and no man dwells therein. Verse 8. And that you provoke me unto wrath with the work of your hand, burning incense unto other false Yahwehs in the land of Egypt, where you go, where you be gone to dwell, that you might cut yourselves off, and that you might be a curse and a reproach among all nations of the earth. Verse 11. Therefore, thus says the Yahweh of hosts, the Yahweh of Israel, behold, I will set my face against you for evil, and to cut off all of that Judah. Verse 16. As for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Yahweh, we will not hearken unto the beast. Hallelujah.
Now
what? Normally,
you're going to be a curse and everything else. And then what did they say, Mother? When Jeremiah is here, let them know you're going to be a curse among everywhere you go. What was their response, Mother, according to verse 16?
Okay. They said, as for the words that I have spoken to us in the name of Yahweh, we will not hearken unto thee.
And that was some of your loved ones say to you? And that's some of your loved ones say? We hear you talking, but we're not listening to you talk that Yahweh talk. See that? Huh? But they got nothing to bag up nowhere. Well, that's what you called it. That's what you called it, Yahweh. I'm calling Lord God Jesus Christ. See? And they'll stiff the neck, Mother. And then they'll stiff the neck right before your eyes. And they might even put their hand on their hip, too. They might put their hand on their hip and roll the neck. They'll roll the neck and the eyes. red eye and roll, put the hair on the hip and roll the neck and roll eyes at you. That's what you call it. Huh? See? Every one of them. So sometimes you got to be understand that the both of them already supported that it ain't going to happen. So you just tell them like the way it is. That's his name. And you already know what the response is going to be. But he said you're up on a curse and you want to remain on the curse. Now, give me a closing statement there, Mother, in Jeremiah 13:8-10. Let me show you what Yahweh thinks about that. When you show him soundly that he was hung on a tree, and you only can call him by one name, the four letters, but they pay us no never mind. Let's see what Yahweh conclude all that conversation, and we'll catch you tomorrow on a special edition called 6 o'clock. What do Yahweh think about that, Mother? Jeremiah 13:8-10, the closing statement, come out.
The book of Jeremiah chapter 13, verses 8-10. Verse 8, then the word of the Yahweh come unto me, saying, thus said the Yahweh, after this manner will I mind pride of Yahweh Judah, and the great pride of Yahweh Judah. Verse 10, with evil people, which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their mind, and walk after other false Yahwehs to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girl, which is good for nothing.
So, Mother, when you tell them what Yahweh is saying, and then I'm going to tell you, no, never mind, what kind of people they is in the eyes of the Mighty One. According to what you just got there, what kind of people might be your closest loved ones, but what kind of people are they according to Yahweh?
They good for nothing.
But what kind of people are they?
Evil people.
Evil people ain't good for nothing. So sometimes you got to, when you know you're trying to show them how to keep them out of sight, and they'll put their hand on their hip and roll the neck and roll the eyes at you. Mm-hmm. All you got to do is remember these scriptures. That this is my kinfolk, but this is some evil people. I'm telling what his name is, and they got their hand on their hip. I'm trying to save your life, and they're going to put their hand on their hip, roll the neck, and eyes. And say, that's what you call it. I'm going to call it Lord God, Jesus Christ, my Lord. So now you see what Yahweh said behind that. This is evil people, Mother. So we just got to drink our herbal tea and just sit down somewhere. Because there goes the definition of them. They don't want to hear it. The name, the program, might be your best loved one. You are evil people trying to save your life. All right, there, Mother. So we'll catch you at 6 o'clock tomorrow, and we'll get at some more on a special edition called Thursday Evening. But whatever your closing statement is, take your time and bring it. Come on.
Oh, good. Thank you and praising Yahweh for the class. And thank you and praising Yahweh for the teachers, for each and every one that's listening. Okay, I'm going to read one verse in Ecclesiastes. Chapter 7, verse 1. A good name is better than precious ornaments, and the day of death than the day of one birth. Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Hey, Mother. See, Mother, all we can do, Mother, is some family. That's how we got me word up. See, you can't let that. They can't let that happen. God is who you are. We're trying to save your life. But we tell you what the Bible's saying, but, and then you can roll the neck. Time might run out on you. Now, you're lying. So, but what have they really done according to Isaiah in the 28th chapter, verse number 15 down to verse 18? What have they really done when they stiff their neck according to Isaiah 28? 18 to 18. What have they really done that we can read? going there, young lion.
Okay, we're going over to the book of Isaiah, chapter 28. We want 15 down to verse number 18. The book of Isaiah, chapter 58. Chapter 28. The book of Isaiah, chapter 28, verse 15 down to 18. Verse 15, read. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we as the grief. When the overflowing skirt shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies.
Hold that point. Hold that point. Now, young lion. Then he said, you have said you have made a covenant with
who? You have made a covenant with death.
So you mean you can make a covenant with death? What is the covenant of death that we can read, young lion? Let's go to End Time Prophecy in the 6th chapter. And we'll look at 1 down to verse 8. Let's see, how can you make a covenant with death? He said, you have said in your mind. See, when you want to call him every name, then he tell you that, hold that point. He tells you 20:31 of St. John before you go there, young lion. What do he tell you in 20:31? In St. John. What do he say that we can read in 20:31 of St. John? What do he say that we can read?
Going over there to the book of St. John. We'll pick it up at chapter 20. We're going to verse number 31. The book of St. John, chapter 20, verse 31. 31 is read. But these are written that you might believe that Yahweh the Son is the Yahweh, the Son of Yahweh the Father, and that believing you might have life.
Next. See, it is life in his name. So, what we try to tell you, that when you call on his name, is life. But if you don't call his name, what have you did again in the 28th chapter, verse 15? Sometimes, you know, tears are, that's why you got to say word up. When you don't call him by his name, according to 28:15, what have you really did? According to Isaiah 28:15.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 28, verse number 15. Verse 15 reads, because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the
hold that point right there. So you have said, by you don't want to call him by his name, who have you made a covenant with?
Yeah.
Now we're going to precept that. Now watch, Mother Z. We're just going to precept that, Mother. And you tell me, with that, see when you precept your Bible, he said, you have said you have made a covenant with death. So when you want to call him by his name, you want to stiff the neck and roll the neck and the eyes, you may have covenant with death. Now, we're going to precept that to End Time Prophecy in the 6th chapter, 1 through 8. Listen to this. Hey, Mother Z, listen to this.
Okay, we're going back to the book of Revelation. We'll pick it up at chapter 6. We're on verse 1 down to verse number 8. Book of Revelation, chapter 6, verse 1 reads, and I saw, when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. Verse 2. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering into conquer. Verse 3. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. Verse 4. And there went out another horse that was raised, and power was given to him. that set thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Verse 5. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. Verse 6. And I heard a voice in the midst of the fourth beast say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see, you hurt not the oil and the wine. Verse 7. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. Verse 8. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth beast of the earth, who killed with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth.
Now, Mother Z, I know you hear it, Mother Z. Look what he says in verse 4 and verse 8. Listen to this in verse 4 and 8. I mean, listen to what the young lion is reading in verse 4 and verse 8.
The book of Revelation, chapter 6, verse 4 and verse 8, verse 4 reads, and there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Verse 8. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. His name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with beast, and with the beast of the field.
Now he said just the one that's going to be doing this, he's going to be red pale, or pale red. Ain't that something? Hey, Mother, you hear what he's saying? He's going to be red, pale, and he's going to have a sword with him, and his job is to take away what from the earth?
And with the, I would say, peace from the earth.
He going to take away what?
Peace from the earth.
He going to take what? Say it again.
Take peace from the earth.
Ain't that something? Ain't that something? You hear that, Mama Z? He going to be red, pale, and got a sword. And his duties going to be this end time prophecy. He going to take away peace from the earth. That means it'll be no peace. Long as he in control, that's he gonna be red, pale, and with a sword. And his job is to take away peace from the earth. That means long as he exists, it will be no peace. Because that's his assignment. And he will have a sword. He's gonna be pale, red. Now you see,
hallelujah,
this Bible. It's the greatest literature. It tells the story, but nobody wants to believe the story. When you preach up the Bible, we find out he's going to carry a sword, and he's going to be pale red. And what he's going to do, he's going to take away peace from the earth. So we're just going to preach up the Bible by going to the sin of the 35th chapter, young man. And we're just going to see what's going on. We're going to see when you precept your Bible, the 35th chapter of Ezekiel. Look what it says in verse 14 and 15. Now watch it. Hey, Mother Z, listen to this, Mother Z, listen to this. Verse 14 and 15. Ezekiel 35,
all right.
14 and 15.
All right. We're going over to the book of Ezekiel. We're going to chapter 35, and we're going to pick it up at verse 14 and verse 15. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 35, verse 14 reads, thus says the Yahuwah, when the whole earth rejoice, I will make you desolate. Verse 15, as you did rejoice at the inheritance of the family of Israel, because it was desolate, so will I do unto you. You shall be desolate, O Mount Seir, Esau, and all Esau and his five sons, all of it, and they shall know that I am the Yahuwah.
Yeah, mother. See, his job is to take away peace. His job is to take away peace. He's pale red with a sword. His job is to take away peace. But he said, your time going to run out, because when they get happy, and on the way the world going to get happy, they got to remove you. And you got to worry. So on the way, you're going to ever be happy, according to precept in your Bible, that the pale red sword man must be removed. According to verse 4, all the way you're going to get this right here, that he must be removed. Is we reading this or not? Read it again, verse 14, 15. Give me your precept, your Bible. Then you just can watch them just from the back page of the book. You ain't got to watch that one out of eight. Look what it says in verse 14 and 15 again.
The book of Ezekiel, chapter 35, picking up at verse 14, verse 15. Verse 14 reads, thus says the Yahuwah, when the whole earth rejoice, I will make you desolate. Verse 15, as you did rejoice at the inheritance of the family of Israel, because it was desolate, so will I do unto you. You shall be desolate, O Mount Seir, and all Esau and his five sons, even
You see the Bible saying, and then we're going to precept that and show you why he said that. And we'll close out with this. And remember, tomorrow at 6 p.m., best edition call Thursday evening, Habakkuk chapter 4 through 13, the closed statement on your online. Read quick as you can so you can get your long closing statement in. See, listen. We got to understand something. You're not going to get your skin and grin properly until the pale red sword man is removed. You see that? So we just tell you what time it is. You can just do what you go ahead and continue, but then it'll tell. The only way you're going to rejoice as a nation, the pale red sword man must be removed. Why? Why so? He's going to tell you why. Habakkuk 2 verse 4. Listen, Mother Z, what he's saying.
Okay, you want Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4?
Yeah, 4 and 5, that's it. Just give me 4 and 5, that's it.
Habakkuk chapter 2,
4, 5, and 13, the closing statement. Listen, hey, Mother Z, listen to this, Mother Z.
Okay, going to the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 4, 5, and verse 13. Verse 4 reads, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. Verse 5. Yet, also because he transgresses by wine, he is a proud man, neither keep at home, who enlarges his desire as hell, and is as death, and cannot be satisfied, but gathered unto him all nations, and heap unto him all people.
He said, this man, his soul ain't right. He said, to you, he adds death. He said, this man to you is death to you. You see the man saying? He said, this man's soul ain't right. He said, this man is death to you. Is that what we read?
That's what we read.
Read verse 13 and close statement. What 13 say?
Verse 13 read. Behold, is it not the Yahuwah of hosts, that the people shall labor in the very fire, and the people shall weary themselves for very vanity.
Ain't that something? This man said, I'm going to burn this red, pale sword man in the fire. And that's where you're going to get your joy as a nation. You might get a little individual joy, but as a nation, you're not going to get it, according to Yahuwah said. As a nation, you will not get it. unto the pale red sword man is burning in the fire. That's the way it is, Mother Z. When you preach up that Bible, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
Young Lion, closing statement is all yours, and we catch you everybody tomorrow at 6 o'clock. And remember one thing. We come humble, we only reach the Bible. Young Lion, closing statement is all on you. Come on.
Thank you, Yahuwah, for another best day to read his word. Thank you, Yahuwah, for the opportunity of life to meet the seer, Israel, of Steve Roy. Thank you, Yahuwah, for my wife and children. May you teach them the word of Yahuwah. Thank you, Yahuwah, for our elders and our mothers, all the teachers and brothers and sisters in the 6th Anointed Camp and to the 12 tribes of Israel. I'm going to read Second Ezra and pick it up at Second Ezra. Chapter 9, pick it up at verse number 2. Verse 2 reads, then shall you understand that it is the very same time wherein the highest Yahuwah will begin to visit the world which he made. And I'm going to read verse number 2nd Ezra 6, verse 9. For Esau is the end of the world, and Israel is the beginning of it that follows. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Well, Lord, I'll tell you one thing. If we believe the Bible, then we know what time it is as a nation. Remember one thing. The historian teacher will be at Camp 1 at 2 o'clock on the Sabbath day. So Yahuwah beat y'all. We'll get tomorrow at 6 o'clock for some more B-O-T-T-Y.